didn't exactly work out. So instead I want to share some thoughts that I was thinking about this past Shabbos. I shared some of them with some people in Shul. And I want to try to connect last week's Parsha and this week's Parsha and a little bit of Pirkei Avos, which Klal Yisrael have a very ancient minhag to study this time of the year. And also to put it in the context of Sfiras HaOmer. And I guess since this is our last official get-together for the year, to say thank you to you. Thank you for inviting me. And Amir Hashem, it's something for us to think about, to work on in the days ahead as we come to Kabbalah Satorah, to Shavuos. Something to think about over the summer, maybe. And Amir Hashem, for those who are coming back next year, we'll have the chance to continue to learn together. Let's start on the side of the page that says Apirion Tazria. Looks like this. The Sefer Apirion is a work on Chumash from Rabbi Shlomo Ganzfried. Rabbi Shlomo Ganzfried is more famous for being the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, really a magnificent work that somehow was able with tremendous hashkacha to see great success in this world. I once read an essay about really the hashkacha with which Rabbi Shlomo Ganzfried was able to publish a Sefer and the fact that it became so popular. There were many comparable halachic manuals that were printed around those times. And for whatever reason, it became a staple in Klal Yisrael. It's really a great work of halacha for a person who wants to just begin to get a handle on the nature of the halachic system. But Rav Shlomo Ganzfried wrote a lot of Sfarim. And one of his Sfarim, that's certainly much less well known than the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, is a Sefer on Chumash called Apirion. And it's filled with beautiful little gems. Rav Ganzfried lived in the 1800s. And he has a beautiful insight in this past week's Parsha, which really explains to us what Saras is really about. Pasuk says, Odom kiya ba'or b'saro v'gomer. If a person will see ba'or b'saro on the skin of their flesh, some type of affliction, something that looks like Saras, something that the dermatologist said, this one's not for me, you got to take this one to a Kohen. V'hu v'al Aaron HaKohen, so you go to Aaron HaKohen, or you go to one of Aaron HaKohen's children, and you seek treatment for the spiritual malady called Saras. So he starts by quoting the Alshech HaKadosh, who lived several hundred years before himself. Hiksha Alshech, Rav Moshe Alshech asked, Amai Karu Adam Shihi HaMaila HaGadola. Who is this person who has Saras? This person is not a nice person. This person spoke Lashon Hara. This person maybe did one of the other things. Lashon Hara is maybe the most famous, most common example of what causes a person to get saras. But the Gemara says if a person is stingy, he gets saras. The Gemara has a whole list of things that cause a person to get saras. So this is not like the nicest, greatest, most sensitive, refined human being in the world. And yet, we say about this person, Adam, Kiyeb, or Bisaro, when this Adam, this person, this is a person. I thought the thing that defines humanity is speech. This person obviously doesn't have a sense of what it means to speak in a proper way. So question number one, says the Alshech HaKadosh, why is it that we refer to this person as an Adam, which is a term of endearment? It's a term of refinement. Why is that a proper term for a person who clearly has a lack of sensitivity in Ben Adam L'Chavero? Question one. The Alshech asks a further question, again quoted here by Rav Ganzfried. V'od hiksha amai talya hatahara dafka b'kohen. And why is the Kohen the answer to this problem? Now this person has Saras. Go to the Kohen. The Kohen is the one who will have a perspective that will teach you how to heal yourself or how you can be healed. And everything's al pi Kohen. The Kohen's the one who declares Saras. The Kohen's the one who declares that you're Saras free. Why the Kohen? V'nira l'fiyanias daiti ki yadua shanegoyim ba'am al-Lashon Hara. So says the Apirion, says Rav Shlomo Ganzfried, of course we know, like we said, Lashon Hara is the cause of Saras. V'hikshu, and yet the Mefarshim ask an interesting question. Can a non-Jew get Saras? Saras is a spiritual reality that only applies to Jews. That's a Mishnah in Maseches Nagan. It's maybe even based on this word Adam, as we'll see in a moment. V'hikshu hare gam b'umas ha'olam yesh ba'le lashon hara. We see there are people in the world who sometimes say very, very nasty things, and yet they don't get Saras. They're not afflicted with Saras. How can that be? By the way, I'll just teach you a halacha since we're talking about this. You don't need to use dibur to be in violation of Lashon Hara. In our world today, where people text, where people write on blogs, where people have all sorts of interesting ways of communicating, Right? Lashon Hara could be conveyed. The Chafetz Chaim paskins in a sefer Chafetz Chaim that if someone says something that's a little bit off and you make like a funny face, right? You make a face like that's a ridiculous thing that they said, and someone else sees your facial expression and your body language, and the body language says that comment the other person made was stupid. That's also Lashon Hara. If you're conveying a negative feeling about a fellow Jew, that's Lashon Hara. It doesn't have to be spoken with one's mouth. So the question he asks is, why is it that Lashon Hara only applies to Jews? If we find that amongst the Umas HaOlam, the people of the world, some of them speak Lashon Hara as well, Ve'ena nilkin bin Nagam, and yet they're not afflicted by Nagam. Why is this a Jewish thing? Shouldn't this be a more universal type of quality that Hashem wants the whole world to have? And maybe Hashem does, but Hashem is clearly sending a stronger message to a Jew, and the question is why. So he says in the left-hand column, V'nira pashut kishar umas ha'olam ein ha'achdus v'hashleimus chiyuv v'hem. What makes Lashon Hara so terrible? What does Lashon Hara do that's so offensive? And the answer is, it tears apart something that is essentially one. Klal Yisrael are one. The Etzem, at our Shoresh, at our core, the Jewish people are one. Happens to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Kiviyachol a part of himself, and he sent it down to this world, and he chopped it up into little pieces, and he gave everyone their own little sliver of this chelak elokam imal. But at the end of the day, at our root, on the level of neshama, even though on the level of bodies we're all separate, on the level of neshama we're one. And therefore, when we speak Lashon Hara, we're taking something which is be'emes, in truth, is really one, and we're tearing it apart. And that upsets HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That I could turn to my fellow Jew, who is an extension of myself, and we're going to talk about V'ahavta L'rech Kamocha in this week's Parsha, to be able to talk to turn to the Jew, to someone who's literally my family, my flesh and blood, really me, a part of me, and to be mezalzelit in that way. So therefore, as Jews, there's an obligation, there's an absolute reality of achdus and shlemus. V'alashon hara v'amachlokes einin mazikin lem kolkach. By the nations of the world where they don't have that absolute oneness, where there's nothing intrinsically on the deepest of levels bonding them together. They gather around common values, common ideas. The Jewish people are ki'ish echad b'leiv echad. Rav Huttner, just remembering that, Rav Huttner has a piece in the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Huttner in the Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach, where Rav Huttner says that by the Egyptians, you find the similar lashon. When the Jews stood at Har Sinai, v'yichon sham Yisrael neged ahar, ki'ish echad b'leiv echad. Remember the Rashi. Ki'ish echad, like one person, b'leiv echad, with one desire, one heart. When the Egyptians chased after Klal Yisrael, they're described as having lev echad ki'ish echad. It's the same phrase, but just in reverse. So Rav Huttner, I don't remember which piece it is, in the Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach, Rav Huttner says, what's the difference between ki'ish echad b'leiv echad and b'leiv echad ki'ish echad? And the question is essence versus something which is more superficial. As Jews, be'emes ki'ish echad, we're mamish one, we're one being, we're one entity, we're one team, in the deepest of ways. And because we're one b'leiv echad, we have to learn to feel together. By the nations of the world, no, it's not like that. B'leiv echad, if they have common values, if they have a common desire, if they're both Rangers fans, right? If they're both, whatever it is that they, if they're Republicans, they identify a particular way, So then ki'ish echad, so then there's an achdus between them. But that's not an inherent achdus. It's not a bond on the deepest of levels. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Ganzfried, by the nations of the world, when they speak Lashon Hara, of course it's offensive. But it doesn't cut as deep as when a Jew speaks negatively or causes machlokas amongst our fellow Jews. Masha ein kein Yisrael, asher nishmoseinu chelek elokam imal. A Jew with our fellow Jew is one at the core. Chatzuvos mimakom echad. Yun, carved out from one place. V'achiyuv banu ha'ava v'ashalom. And therefore there's something that obligates. Chiyuv, obligates. A sense of ava, a sense of love, a sense of peace, of community, of working together, of emistic achdus, true achdus. Hein lenyan kiyama Torah, that means working together for Torah. That means, and we'll talk about this, I don't want to be better than anyone in Torah. Hein lenyan shardvarm, and it's true for all matters. That I want to feel connected to my fellow Jew, my fellow Jews. Kanoda mufursam. Vinea al shech chasiv, ki miparshas isha ki tazriya. And the Al-Shech therefore says, the parsha of Isha Ki Tazriya, the story, the story of Tzaras, of Tazria Metzora. It proves that Hanagon b'bnei Yisrael einam b'derach ha-teva. It proves the fact that we get Tzaras and the nations don't. It tells us something in a very deep way about who the Jewish people are. V'amefarshim kasu. The Mefarshim explain, they write, based on a Gemara in Yevamis, the Gemara says, Atem kriyan adam, ve'ein u'masa'olam kriyan adam. That's a very scary and dangerous Gemara, because if taken out of context, it can lead to the death of Jewish people, and it has. The Gemara says, Atem kriyan adam, you are called Adam, Jews are called Adam, and the nations of the world are not called Adam. So obviously, if a person was a rabid anti-Semite, you would say, oh, look at the Jews, look how racist that is. They say that they're the only true Adam. Happens to be Tosos, in several places in Chas, on the side of the Gemara, says that the word Ha-Adam applies to all of humanity. The term Adam applies only to Jews. Okay, why is that so? Pasuk says, Adam ki yamas ba'o, when a Jew dies in a tent. Tumas meis only applies, the impurity that's transmitted from a dead body is true for a Jew and not for a non-Jew. Atem kriyan Adam, you're called Adam. Why is Adam the term that defines the Jewish people? Why Adam? There's a lot of terms you could use for a person. Why Adam? So he says an amazing thing. He says, "Hainu mishum d'shem ish ve'enosh ba'am b'riboy." The other names that you could give for a person have a singular and have a plural. However, the shame Adam, he writes, the shame Adam eino ba b'riboy. How do you say Adam in plural? How do you say Adam in plural? The word Adam implies an absolute oneness. It's not like Ish or Enosh, Anashim. It's singular in the deepest of ways. V'zemora ala achdus v'ashalom. And this alludes to the essential achdus and peace that a Jew has to feel one with the other. V'zeu atem kriyan Adam. That's what it means. The Jewish people, as an entity, are called Adam. And now we understand the pasuk. Who gets saras? Says the pasuk that we began with. Adam ki yeh b'or b'sara. Remember the first question? Why are we calling this person an Adam? Why are we calling this individual who's unrefined, who speaks in a cruel way, in a heartless way, hurts people's feelings? Why are we calling this person Adam? Because we're reminding this person, what's so bad? You know why you got Saras? Because you're from a team called Adam. You're part of a team where the Achdus has to go so deep that even a little bit of a nasty look at someone is a big Aveira. Maybe the biggest Aveira, according to Chazal. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. The Lashon Hara Keneged Kulam. Lashon Hara is very, very, very destructive, not only on a practical level, on a spiritual level. It's a very destructive midah for a person to have. And therefore we say, Adam, you're supposed to be an Adam. You're much better than this. The impact of your words are so significant. And therefore now you have Tzaras. So what do we tell this person to do? If you want to learn to change your attitude, says the Pasuk, V'huva el Aaron HaKohen, or one of his children. Go get to know Aaron. And if we had to describe Aaron in one sentence, of course it's, Aaron HaKohen is an Oev Shalom, a Rodev Shalom. Aaron HaKohen is the one who's Oev HaSabrios U'makarvan LaTorah. Aaron is the one who takes Klai Yisrael, when we seem to be falling apart, when we seem to be splintering apart, and he pulls us back together in the deepest of ways. This is the secret of Saras, and again, this is the essence of what it means to be a Jew. And I want to now transition from here into this week's parsha. But first, let's learn a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Again, there's a minhag that goes back 1,000 years. It's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah brings it in the Shulchan Aruch to learn Pirkei Avos this time of the year between Pesach and Shavuos. Because, on the most basic level, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. If we want to come to Shavuos and receive God's Torah, we need to be good people. We need to be fine and refined and sensitive people. So let's learn a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which again, I think, is maybe an important lesson also to end the year on. To end the year again, our learning together, to end on this comment from Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Says Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rabbi Omer, it was this past week's Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Omer, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rabbi, is a reference to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the one who arranged the Mishnayos. Rabbi Omer, Ezo hi derech yeshara sheyivor lo ha'adam. What is the proper path a person should choose? This is an important Mishnah, no? I mean, for all the times and countless conversations we've had trying to figure out our lives, you know, those late night conversations, had we found this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, we could have solved a lot of life's difficulties. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, he carries some weight. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi says, let me tell you the proper path to choose in this world. It's a simple equation. Or so it seems. Let's see. Says Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Kol shi tiferes le'oseha, I know the word in front of you says le'osa, which is the version that some Rishonim have. Most Mishnayos say le'oseha. Add an extra yud to that. Kol shehi tiferes le'oseha v'tiferes lo min ha'adam. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says a good life is a balanced life. It has to be tiferes le'oseha, it has to make sense for you. You have a right to take care of yourself. V'tiferes lo min ha'adam, but it's also good for the rest of the world. It's good for others. You're not self-absorbed, but you're also not turned so far outward that you're not even taking care of yourself. Balance. Tiferes lo seh, it's good for the one who performs it, for the one who does it. V'tiferes lo min ha'adam, and it's good for everyone around you. It's good for the world at large. Yesterday, in the days of Sfiras HaOmer, we finished the third week of Sfira. Right, today we've entered into the week in the Midos that we're working on. This is the week of Netzach, the Midah of Netzach. But we just finished the week of Tiferes. The 7 weeks of Sfira correspond to seven different Midos. Again, spiritual concepts that we're working on. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. We just finished the week of Tiferes. Says Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, his guiding principle to take us through that week of Tiferes that we just concluded. Make sure we understood what we just went through. What is Tiferes? Says Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, what's the proper life? What's the good life? The balanced life? The path one should choose? Tiferes lo'osa, it's good for you. V'tiferes lo min ha'adam, and it's good for others. Explains Rav Avadim Yibar Tanur in his commentary on the Mishnayos, source number 2. He says in the middle of that first line, what does it mean, Tiferes lo'osa, v'tiferes lo min ha'adam? She'ei noach lo, it's pleasing for you, it makes sense, it's good for you. It's noach, right? As a lashon of menucha, which implies both a certain yishuv hadas, a certain comfort. It makes sense for you. V'yu nochin b'nei adam mimenu. And others also say that what you're doing makes sense. That everyone's happy. You made a good choice, a balanced choice. V'zeh yiyeh k'sheyelech b'chol amidos b'derach ha'emtzei, like the famous words of the Rambam, to always walk the middle path, so to speak. And you shouldn't stray to one of the shnei kitzvos, to one of the two extremes. Try to be a person who walks in the middle. Because if you're the type of person who's very stingy, so that might be good for you. You'll have a lot of money, right? But it's not good for others, because there are people who unfortunately don't have so much money. And if you're the type of person, he says in the third line, who's mefazer yoser min haroah, you give away more than makes sense for you. So everyone's going to say, wow, you're the most generous person. You give so much time and so much energy and so much money to others, but you're not taking care of your own family, not taking care of yourself. So that's also not proper. That's not balanced. And he says the same thing is true for every single midah. To try to strike a balance somewhere between tiferes lo'oseh, it's good for you, for tiferes lo min ha'adam. And that's, on the one hand, very simple, and on the other hand, it's very hard. It's very hard to honestly walk that middle path. Sometimes we want to be, you know, heroic. We want to give up all of our time and all of our energy to help others. But really, it's not right. It's not fair to the neshama that you've been given. You're so focused on helping others to have a great life that your own life is in disarray. And sometimes a person becomes so selfish that again, you're not looking to help anyone else. It's very similar to the ancestor of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Hillel, who famously said, "Im ein ani li mili, k'shani la'atzmi ma'ani. Im ein ani li mili, if I don't take care of myself, then who's going to take care of me? But k'shani la'atzmi, if it's only about me to the exclusion of others, that's also not going to work." Now I want to just pause here and share with you something very, very deep and very interesting. We don't have time to explain it at length, but just so you should know that such a thing exists is very worthwhile. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the three avos, the pillars of the world, who would you say was the most balanced? Avram, Yitzchak, or Yaakov? Don't all speak at once. No? What would you say? You have a good chance to get someone, call it out. I'll say Yaakov. Yes? Yaakov? No? Avram? Yitzchak? What do we say? I'll tell you why I think Yaakov. What's Avram's midah? Chesed. Avram is the greatest lover of humanity that ever walked planet Earth. Right? He's still known the whole world. Everyone knows about Abraham. There's been some very great people who gave away a lot of their time and energy and money to help others. But Abraham, everyone's heard of Abraham. Yeah? Abraham left a mark on the world because he loved the world. He was Makari of the world. He did everything he could to help. But Abraham, Avram Avinu, was not perfectly balanced. And that midah of chesed was transmitted to one of his children who used it in a very destructive way. Who's that? Yishmael. Yishmael is the midah of chesed in a perverted way. When they're going to Akedas Yitzchak, and Yishmael's tagging along, and Avram says, Shvu lachem po'im achamor, you stay here with the donkey, which Chazal interpret, Yishmael, you stay here because you stay im achamor, because you're an am hadom el achamor. You're like a chamor. A chamor, you're like a donkey. Chamor, the Maharal says, chamor is a lashon of chomer, of chumrius, of physicality. Yishmael, chesed, when chesed goes astray, it turns into something that we spend a lot of time talking about in this week's parsha, the end of Acharimos. It comes back again. Arayos. Because if I don't know how to love in a balanced way, right? Instead of loving people who are permitted to me, I start to love people who are not permitted to me. It turns into adultery. It turns into arayos. It turns into forbidden relationships. And Yishmael was known to be very perverse in that regard. So Avram's midah of chesed was to an extreme, and unfortunately it was received by one of his children in the wrong way. What's Yitzchak's midah? Gevura. Gevura doesn't mean physical strength, it means inner strength. Yitzchak had tremendous inner strength. He's the most inward of the Avos. He barely talks in the Chumash. He's tied down at the Akedah. He never leaves Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak has tremendous restraint. And yet, if Gevura goes astray, instead of being inner strength, Ezu Gibra Kovish as Yitzro, it turns into outward Gevura. It turns into a hunter and a murderer and an abuser like an Esav. So Avram couldn't get all of his children to walk the path. Yitzro couldn't get all his children to walk the path. Yaakov is the one who takes a little bit of that world of Avram and a little bit of that world of Yitzchak, and he blends it together so seamlessly that Yaakov can say on his deathbed, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusol Yolam Ved. As his children say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Every one of us believes in you. We're not perfect. We're not going to pretend the Bnei Yaakov were perfect. The Shvatim weren't perfect. But they were tzaddikim. And they all lived, to the best of their ability, from lives. They were from. He didn't have any kids who were off the deck, like Avram and Yitzchak did. And that's why we're called Bnei Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael. Because Yaakov was able to strike that balance. And therefore the midah of Yaakov Avinu, if Avram is chesed, which is the midah on the right-hand side, and Yitzchak is Gvura on the left-hand side, well, in the structure of the spheros, in the middle is Tiferes, and that's Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu. Tiferes is a hard word to translate. Splendor, harmony, it's some type of being able to, right, to take the sugar, the sweetness of Avram Avinu, to take the lemons of Yitzchak, and to make lemonade somewhere in the middle, to blend the two together. If it's too bitter, it's not going to be good. If it's too sweet, it's not going to be good. Be able to create that perfect cup of lemonade for a hot summer afternoon. That's Yaakov Avinu. That's Yaakov Avinu. The Medrash says in source number 3 about Yaakov Avinu, it even refers to Yaakov Avinu by a very beautiful term. It says, it's in Parshas Vayishlach, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od Vayetzalah. He's very nervous when he goes to fight against Esav. Rav Pinchas B'Shem Rabbi Ruvain, Shnei B'nei Adam Hevtichan HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Nisyaru. There were two people who had promises from God, and yet they were still nervous. Who are the two? Habachur sheba avos v'habachur sheba neviim. The choicest of the avos. I didn't know we have favorites amongst the avos. Says the Medrash, yes, we do. And the choicest of the neviim. Okay, the choice of the neviim. We know who that's going to be. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Who's bechir sheba avos? Who's bachur sheba avos? Who's the best of the avos? The Zohar Kadosh has a similar lashon. It refers to Yaakov as the briach hatichon, that middle beam, that structural beam that pulls together the whole building. Says the Medrash, Habachur Shabaavo Ze Yaakov. Yaakov is Tiferes. Yaakov is the balance. So what I want to share with you, just for a moment, is it's so interesting that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, here in his famous statement of Pirkei Avos, is speaking about the midah of Yaakov Avinu. Because in a certain sense, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was the Yaakov Avinu of his time. There are many, many connections between Yaakov Avinu and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So much so that the Megala Mukos of Nasan Nata from Krakow in the 1500s, late 1500s, early 1600s, the Heilige Megala Mukos said, and again, all of his writings are very, very deep, and his writings on Ve'eschanan, he says, the reason Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was called Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he says that Hanasi stands for, you see it in source number 4, Hu Nitzutz Shel Yaakov Avinu. Nitzutz means he's from the same spark of the soul. He's a Gilgal, he's a reincarnation. he shares the deepest of spiritual connections with Yaakov Avinu. Hu nitzot shal Yaakov Avinu. Shal Yaakov Avinu. That's who Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was. It's fascinating. I once saw in one of the countless books written by Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tursky, Rav Meshua Tursky, he says in one of his books, he says, if you see the life of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi also, in his own family, he had a similar thing. I told you a moment ago, he's a descendant of Hillel. Hillel is like Avram Avinu, the great lover of all. Right? Hillel is always so soft-spoken, Hillel is so gentle. And yet, you know who else Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi comes from? Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was the midah of Gvura, he's very harsh at times. And yet Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi took the blend of his own family, and he made Tiferes. And that's why he can teach, Tiferes lo asev et Tiferes lo menadam. He's mamish, a spark of Yaakov Avinu, sent back to this world once again. And the Medrash has many, many connections. Again, we don't have time for it right now. The Medrash says that Yaakov spent 17 years of his life, the last 17 years of his life, learning in Goshen. He came to Mitzrayim, he retired and sat in Kolol in Mitzrayim. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi once said about himself, I spent 17 years in Tzipori. I was a Rav and I spent time learning in Tzipori for 17 years, just like Yaakov spent 17. The Medrash is clearly making a connection, again, on a revealed level, but also on a concealed level, between Yaakov Avinu and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So this is the Midah of Tiferes. This is the Midah that we just went through a week of Tiferes. And again, the idea of Tiferes is that there has to be a balance. There has to be a sense that I have to take care of myself, but there also has to be a very deep sense that I have responsibility to everyone around me. There's a Gemara in Sota on Daf Yudal Amud Beis. This is my own thought. It's not Pashup Shad in the Gemara. But the Gemara says in source number 5, what happens when you're reading the Chumash and you find one pasuk that seems to say one way, and you have another pasuk that seems to say almost the opposite, and I'm not really sure how to put the two together. One pasuk is more open to fitting with the other one, and the other one, if I start from that one, it doesn't fit as well. Says the Gemara, Kol makom sha'ata moti shnei mikros. Whenever you encounter two pasukim, echad mekayim es atzmo u'mekayim divrei chavero. One pasuk, it makes sense for itself, and again, viewing it through the lens of that pasuk, I can make sense, I can be makayim, I can uphold and make sense of the other pasuk. However, the echad, makayim atzmo u'mevatel divrei chavero. But if my starting point is that second pasuk, I can only really make sense of that pasuk, and it's going to be contradicted by the other pasuk. So which way should I read the pasukim? Right? Which way is right? Which way is right? If I have two different perspectives, which is the correct perspective? Right? Is it more correct to try to make the second pasuk work? Or no, I should say this is my worldview, and if it tramples others on the way, then so be it. And obviously the Gemara says, and again I'm reading it a little bit out of context, the Gemara in Sota, but the idea is certainly very true. The Gemara says, whenever you have this choice to be made, put aside the one that only upholds itself and negates the other one, v'tofsin, and hold on to the pasuk that's mekayim atzmo u'mekayim chaver. Hold on to the pasuk that helps itself and helps others. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is saying. Because every Jew is a pasuk, every Jew is a parsha, every Jew is a sefer Torah. Every Jew has their own perspective, their own worldview. Sometimes a person says, my worldview is right to the exclusion of others. But sometimes I'm willing to adjust my worldview ever so slightly to say that, you know what, if I'm willing to change and meet you somewhere in the middle, then both of our worldviews can exist. It's going to take a little compromise. It's going to take an attitude of Yaakov Avinu or of Yehuda HaNasi. But again, that's the greater way to uphold the Torah, to uphold the entire institution of Torah. And now we come to the pasuk in this week's parsha. From the world of Lashon Hara last week, we come this week to Achrimos Kedoshim, and we come to what Rabbi Akiva, the one whose Talmidim are mourning this time of the year, tells us is the Klal Gadol B'Torah. Of course, you know the words, V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. The Talmud Yerushalmi, it's also a Medrash in source number 6, V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Zehu Klal Gadol B'Torah. V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. That doesn't sound entirely balanced, because we don't yet know how to learn the pasuk. How does V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha work? What does that really mean? How do we do that? And what does it mean to strike that balance in the right way? So let's learn the words of the Ramban. Because V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, the same Rabbi Akiva who's telling me Klal Gadol B'Torah is to love your fellow Jew like yourself, what does that same Rabbi Akiva say in the Gemara in Bav Metzia when I'm with my friend on a hike and we get lost in the desert? and it's a boiling hot day. And we know that eventually they're going to come looking for us, but our supplies are limited. And there's only one cup of water. And I could drink the cup myself and save myself, and your friend will, God forbid, die in the desert of heat stroke. Or I could give away the cup to my friend. I would want it for myself. I should want it for you, no? Or maybe we should split the cup. Yeah? Maybe we should say, shahakol, our last shahakol. Yeah? And lie down in the sand, holding hands and surrendering in a beautiful way to give back our souls together to God. What a beautiful sign of Ava and Achdus. What's the right thing to do in halacha? It's a machlokas in the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva says you drink the water yourself. You say to your friend, I love you from the depths of my soul, but the Torah tells me, v'chai b'hem, I have an obligation to take care of myself even more than you. So how do I understand v'haftal v'echa kamocha? What does Hashem actually mean, v'haftal v'echa kamocha? I mean, it's cute. We know a lot of songs about it. We've known this pasuk for a long time. Says the Ramban, what is the Torah actually asking? The Torah is not asking you to put someone else before yourself. Push comes to shove, Rabbi Akiva paskins in that Gemara, chayecha kodmin l'chayecha v'echa, drink the water. So what is v'haftal v'echa kamocha? Says the Ramban, source number 7, Vitam, which means the explanation of Ahavta Recha Kamocha, Haflaga, it's exaggerated, it's not literal. And the proof that it's not literal, again, is the Gemara we just spoke about, that Rabbi Akiva himself tells you that push comes to shove, you drink the water, and you don't save your friend. So what does Hashem want us to do? If it's not possible for me to truly give up my life for that other person, and the halacha doesn't expect me to, and the Torah doesn't expect me to, and Hashem doesn't expect me to, so what does Hashem expect? And listen to this very, very important and profound Ramban. The Ramban says in the third line, Ela mitzvas haTorah, she'ahav chaveiro b'chol inyan kasher yahav es nafsho b'chol atov. To want good things for your friend the same way you want good things for yourself. I don't want to be better. I don't want to be smarter. I don't want to be frummer. I don't want to find a better husband. I don't want to have nicer kids. I don't want to live in a fancier house. I don't want anything better than you. You know why? Because what does it take away from me if you have the best kids in the world? If you find the greatest husband in the world? If you have never had any trouble with parnassah or health? Why would I want to have a competitive edge over you in that regard? That's an illness. It's an illness that a lot of people have, and we all have on some level. And the Torah says, that much you can conquer. You can become the type of person who can genuinely rejoice for others. That you're happy for your fellow Jew when they have success, even if you don't have that success. And even if you feel like, well, my enjoyment is not as full when I know someone else has the same good thing that I have. I'd like to have something that someone else doesn't have. That gives me that competitive edge. But the Torah says, no, that's not how Jews operate. Because v'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha. Because your friend is mamish kamocha, your friend is you. As we started off, Adam, there's a oneness to you and your friend. There's no reason you should be so petty as to want to take away from someone who is literally an extension of yourself. Says the Ramban, the line that begins with the word shiyya. What does it mean? Shiyya peirusho lahashvos avas shneim bedaita. Ki pa'amim shiyahav adam esve'eu bedvarim yiduim. Sometimes you love your friend that he should have or she should have certain things, but not everything. Lativo ba'osher v'lo b'chachma. I don't mind if my friend is wealthier as long as I'm smarter. V'kiyotze b'zeh. And the like. V'im ye'ovo b'chol. If you really love the person entirely, yachvos sheyizke re'eyu ha'ohov lo b'osher uv'nechasim uv'kavod uv'das uv'chachma. If you really love your fellow Jew, you want them to have the best life in the world. It doesn't take away anything from you. It does not take away anything that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you. Even if you feel, oh, Hashem hasn't given me such great things, that's okay. It shouldn't hurt you to see someone having a good life. You should be happy for them. Ashrei ha'am shekachalot. The Svarim HaKadoshim explain, Ashrei ha'am, praiseworthy is the nation, our nation, Klal Yisrael, shekachalot. When a Jew realizes that kacha, whatever it is, your kacha is not like a, you know, it's not a term of great success. You know, how's it going? Ah, kacha. Shekachalo, that even when it's kacha, even when it's so. When a Jew is able to say lo, that I realize it's from him, Ashrei ha'am, praiseworthy is the nation. I have exactly what I need. Hashem's going to give me exactly what I'm supposed to have. So when I find out that my friend got engaged, that's awesome. I'm so excited for you. Genuinely so excited for you. Your simcha is mamish my simcha. Your success is my success. Your brilliance, your wisdom, your health is good for me. We daven Shmona Esrei in Lashon Rabbim because we're focused on the Tzibur. It's not individual. It's not every man for himself or herself. I want you to have Osher and Nechasim and Kavod and Das and Chokhmah. I want you to have everything in the world. V'losha Yishvei Elav. Aval Yechofetz Beliba La'olam Shia Hu Yosem Imenu B'chol Tova. Not even that we should have equal, that I want you to have even better than me. That's how Miyushav, that's how at ease I am, Shekachalo, that whatever I have is His, is from Hashem. That even if you are better than me, it's great. I'm so happy. It's my simcha. V'hafta l'reicha kamocha. It's mamish my simcha. To be able to be that type of balanced person, it's not an easy thing. It's really not an easy thing. How about balancing bein adam l'makom and bein adam l'chaveiro? Someone else we think about a lot this time of the year. It took him some time to learn how to strike a balance. Who am I referring to? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, he went into a cave. And he was in that cave for 12 years. He comes out of the cave after focusing on himself and his son and no one else for 12 years. And he comes out, and I hate to speak this way about a holy Tana like Rabbi Shimon, but he hates the world. He hates people. He's a harsh person. Rabbi Shimon comes out of the cave and he sees people going to work, not committing averos, he sees people going to work and he's disgusted by them. What are you so disgusted by? You're abandoning a life of spirituality to get a job? Rabbi Shimon says, what's your problem? And he's literally, the Gemara says, burning people up with his eyes. A voice comes out of the heavens and Kadosh Baruch Hu himself gives a little musr to Rabbi Shimon and his son, and he says, Rabbi Shimon, did I take you out of the cave to destroy my world? Go back to the cave. He goes back to the cave for one more year. Rabbi Shimon starts to think about what it means to be a balanced person, Tiferes Lo Sev, Tiferes Lo Min Adam, to be able to be happy and proud of my fellow Jews, and to feel that wherever they are, I'm with them, 100%. Rabbi Shimon comes out of the cave after that 13th year, and he has a different set of eyes. He only sees good. His son is still grappling with it, but Rabbi Shimon himself, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai himself, the holy Tana, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, sees only good by Jews. Very simple Jews, he sees only good things about them. There's an amazing remez, a gematria, a fascinating gematria from the Rebbe of Kamarna. The Kamarna Rebbe says, I'll show you just how precise the balance between Bein Adam L'Makom, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is supposed to be. He says, what's the gematria of Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha Ani Hashem, like the Pasuk says? V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha ani Hashem is 907. What's our other most important v'ahavta? Just do it every day when you're mekabel o machas shemayim. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Baruch Shem Kavod Machaso Li'olam Va'ed. V'ahavta eis Hashem Elokecha. How do I balance v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha ani Hashem and v'ahavta eis Hashem Elokecha? How do I balance those two? Says the Rebbe of Kamarna, if you look at it under a microscope, just look at the gematria, it's one and the same. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha ani Hashem is 907. V'ahavta es Hashem l'kecha is also exactly 907. They have to be perfectly balanced. A couple of years ago, I was working on the sugi of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The first time Rabbi Shimon came out of the cave, he didn't really get permission to come out of the cave. Hashem knew he wasn't really ready to hatch. The first time he came out of the cave, Eliyahu came to the entrance of the cave and he said, who could tell Bar Yochai that whoever's trying to kill him, the reason he ran to the cave, he's not chasing after him anymore. So Rabbi Shimon said, oh, I guess that means I'm allowed to come out. The second time Rabbi Shimon came out of the cave, a voice came out of heavens and said, Rabbi Shimon, tzu'u mima'araschem, come out of your cave. Now you're really ready to come out of the cave. And the second time he comes out, and he's still madly in love with Hashem, but he's also madly in love with Klal Yisrael. He's learned to strike the balance. So when I was working on this sugya a couple years ago, I realized that those two words, tzu'u mima'araschem, is also exactly 907. Because Hashem was saying to Rabbi Shimon, now you're the balanced Jew I want you to be. Now you're the type of tzaddik I want you to be. Fully committed to Hashem, fully committed to Klal Yisrael. Balanced. Tiferes lo sev, tiferes lo min ad. The midah of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the midah of Yaakov Avinu, to realize Adam, a tem Korean Adam, there's a oneness to Klal Yisrael. To rejoice with each other's success, to want even better for my friend. Because Ashrayam Shekachala, whatever I have is exactly what I'm supposed to have. Rav Elimelech of Lezhensk used to travel around, the great Rebbe, Rebbe Rav Melech. Rav Melech would travel around, he would have these self-imposed exiles that he would go on to work on himself. He was coming back one time, And as he was getting close to the city, someone came running over to him and said, "Remelech, your son is deathly ill. Your son is deathly ill. Reb Lezer is deathly ill." And he came running, Reb Elimelech came running back to the city, came running into the city, and as he got to the city, it turned out it was another kid, another Lezer, someone else's kid. And when he found out that his kid wasn't burning up with fever, and his kid wasn't deathly ill, for a second, he let out a sigh of relief. It's normal. He was happy. His son wasn't sick. But then he caught himself and he said, "Hold on a second. But someone's son is sick. And if it's not my Reb Lezer, it's a different Reb Lezer." And immediately Reb Elimelech Lejeune said, "All that time I spent in Gullis working on myself, I guess I don't get it quite yet." And Reb Elimelech Lejeune turned himself around and went straight back into Gullis, his self-imposed exile to work on himself. Because if I can feel a greater simcha with the health of my own child, if I feel that my problem has been solved, if my son's not sick, but another Jewish child is sick, then I'm not the type of Jew that I need to be yet. I'm not balanced in the way that I'm supposed to be. I remember I once read, I don't know if this is true. It's a great point. I find it hard to believe that it's true. It's just hard to picture, you know? The Vilna Gaon has a little child on a seesaw. Yeah, how's that for an image? The Vilna Gaon, I once read, when he was a kid, he was sitting on a seesaw, he was playing with his friends, and all of a sudden, he got like this very serious look on his face, and he got off the seesaw and walked away. So his father said, what happened? Why aren't you playing anymore? And little Reb Eliyahu of Vilna, could be it's a true story. Little Eliyahu of Vilna, the Vilna Gaon, the one who would go on to become the Vilna Gaon said, because, he says to his father, "Because I realized, I don't want to go up when someone else goes down. I don't feel comfortable going up to sit on something where the only way I go up is for someone else to go down." Imagine that type of sensitivity, that type of achdus, that type of realization, right? That I don't want to get ahead at someone else's expense. That someone else's joy is my joy. Someone else's simcha is my simcha. Take a look at the final source, the Avodas Yisrael, the Kozhin Sur Magid. One more Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Again, from the second parak of Pirkei Avos, we meet the Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And each one is told, go find the path that one should choose in this world. And Rabbi Eliezer says, Ayin Tov, if you have a good eye, you have everything. Yaakov Avinu, I know a simplistic read of the Chumash makes it sound like Yaakov is not a person who has a good eye. He complains to Paro about his life. But Sof Kol Sof, Yaakov develops a good eye. And you do see it along the way. Yaakov Avinu, when Esav says, Yesh li Rav, I have almost everything I want. Yaakov says, Yesh li Kol, I have everything I want. Whatever Hashem gave me is perfect. Yaakov is the Midah of Ayin Tov. That's why the Vilna Gaon, we just mentioned a moment ago, says that Yaakov's life is 147 years, which is Gematria Ayin Tov. Because Yaakov Avinu was a person of proper perspective, a balanced perspective. Says Rabbi Eliezer, in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, what's the proper path in this world? The path of Ayin Tov. Hinei al derech ha-poshut, explains the Magid of Koshnitz. The simple pshat, a simple understanding of this Mishnah is the following. Shetei eino tova b'shel chaveiro, v'lo yiyet tsar ayin. Be the type of person who is able to see good things by other people. Don't have tsaras ayin, which by the way the Gemara says is one of the other ways that a person gets tsaras, by having a stingy eye. Right? It doesn't just mean being cheap with your finances. It means having an outlook that it's never good enough. And what someone else has is better, and I want what they have, and I can't truly rejoice for them. It's a lack of an understanding of Adam, a temkri in Adam. It's a lack of an understanding of Ahavta l'Reicha Kamocha. Listen to these harsh words. And you know I don't like to share harsh words, but it's amnestic what he's saying. The Kashrus Magid says, because if you can't look at your fellow Jew and be happy for your friend, there's an element of kfira, there's a rejection of God in that. Because doesn't Hashem know how to divvy up all the things that He wants to give to the world? Doesn't Hashem know how to do that in a balanced way? You're accusing Hashem of not getting the right amount of money in your bank account, not getting you the shidduch at the right time, not giving you the brain to be able to get the score on the test or to get into the graduate program that you had hoped to get into. Hashem doesn't know what He's doing. So when you can't celebrate someone else having what they're supposed to have, if you have tsaras ayin, there's an element of kfira, of heresy mixed in. Ki im yachshov ha'adam sha'kol mito yisbarach, because if you realize that everything's from Hashem, then there will be no jealousy whatsoever b'shel chaver. Ki Hashem nasin lo v'adai nachon hu adavar, because what Hashem gave you, that's exactly what you're supposed to have. Rakim lo yachshov zos, but if you don't think this way, V'achshov she'me'anachon hu she'akol shalo, that everything should be mine. V'kofer b'masha Hashem Yisbarach nasan lo v'lezeh amar ayin tova. This is what Rabbi Eliezer says will ruin your life. Develop the good eye. Develop the outlook, the way a Jew is supposed to see things, in the proper way. And I want to just end on a very practical note. Because this past Shabbos I gave a drasha in shul, and I didn't share any of the things I shared with you so far today. But at this drasha that I shared this past Shabbos, I expressed myself what I hope was in a heartfelt way about something that really bothers me. There's an aspect of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro that I think is totally overlooked sometimes. And again, I spoke about a few different points, but I want to just highlight one thing. Sometimes Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, if you understand that I'm deeply, deeply connected to another human being, especially the Jewish people, then I'm able to respect that person regardless of whether or not they can see me and they can know what I'm doing. What am I referring to? Something that bothers me. It's a pet peeve of mine. And again, maybe you'll agree, maybe you'll think I'm being too demanding, right? But it really, really bothers me when you're in a place where someone is, let's say, presenting, yeah? Someone prepared a speech. You're at a simcha, or you're at some type of function. You're sitting at a wedding, and someone's getting married. And you might be sitting very far back. And it could be the Chasen HaKala. Not it could be. For sure, the Chasen HaKala barely know that you're there. They're in their own little world under that chuppah. Yeah? So they don't really, it doesn't really bother them in terms of what's happening right there, right now. It doesn't really bother them that you're on your cell phone the entire time by their chuppah. It doesn't really, in terms of their being able to, you know, make googly eyes at each other under the chuppah, it doesn't really take away from their simcha. But if you understand that on the deepest level, our souls are connected, so if I'm at your simcha, why am I not really at your simcha? When you go to some type of function, you know, when someone gets up to give a speech, and maybe it's a really boring speech, and you're sitting in the back, right? And they don't see that you're, you know, talking to your friend in the back, or you're on your cell phone, or you're doing something else. And it doesn't really take away, it's not hurting them, it's not insulting them in any direct way. But at the same time, if I'm really connected to this person, if I really care for them, if I was getting married, but I want one of my friends who I invited, who I paid money to come to my wedding, but I want them to sit on their cell phone during my chuppah, maybe I'm not being malamitzchus, maybe everyone's just reading Tehillim on their cell phone. That could be. Right? But if you were under that chuppah, what would you want, how would you want Klal Yisrael to connect with you? If you were got an award and you were being honored at some dinner or some function, and you got up to give a little speech, right? So what would you want people to listen? You know you worked hard to prepare that. You're at a simcha. The bar mitzvah boy is giving some little, you know, bar mitzvah pshatel. You know, you could care less. You're not following it. He's trying to sound like a big lamdan, you know, because his rabbi told him that's what you're supposed to sound like at your bar mitzvah, this little 13-year-old kid. Yeah? He doesn't see what you're doing. He's focusing on his speech. He's reading along. But again, am I connecting to this person? Do I care? Do I recognize that oneness? Do I understand that v'hafta l'vecha kamocha, ani Hashem is exactly gematria, v'hafta es Hashem elokecha? Do I understand Adam, that Adam, atem kriyan Adam, that saras is only for Klal Yisrael because at our soul there's an achdus, there's a oneness, that my child's health should bother me as much as my friend's child and vice versa? Right? Do we have that recognition? Do we have that appreciation? And again, it's just one little something to think about during these days of Sfiras Om. So Amir Tashem, we're in these parshios. We finished the week of Teferis, of being balanced. We've learned the story of Tzaras. We have this Shabbos to makabel upon ourselves. Amir Tashem, we should hold on to this Klal Gadol B'Torah. A Klal Gadol B'Torah which is a little bit shaky in the world today. But to hold on to it with all of our strength. And Amir Tashem, in that way, will rectify the terrible chait of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva. And we'll be able to create the Am Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give the Gula to. B'mehir Rabbi Aminu Amin.